This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour of the Dyer Baptist Church with our co-pastors, David M. Atkinson and Dr. Lee Atkinson. We are coming to you from Dyer, Indiana. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened by the word today. Now, here is our pastor.
Our Sunday morning series is called Spotless, talking about the idea of what Scripture calls keeping yourself unspotted from the world. You ever go for a bike ride? It was a beautiful day, but it had rained the day before. And you go for that bike ride, and after the bike ride, your back is all spotted because the tire throws up the mud. Yeah. It's hard to ride through the mud without picking up some, isn't it? And it's hard sometimes to live in the world without picking up some. And you may think that you're clean, but someone's going to look at your back and say, wow, you got a lot of spots on you. What we're trying to do then in this series is think about important issues or areas of life and ask, how does the world meet? And by the world, I just mean people that aren't yet saved, people that haven't been born again, adopted, brought into God's family. How does the natural man, the normal person, how do they think about these things? And what do they love in this area? And how does that play out in what they do? Because then sometimes as Christians, we might think something pretty similar and just kind of slightly tweak what we do, kind of just a minor variation, when salvation is generally a transformative thing, isn't it? We've been made new creatures. There's a metamorphosis that takes place when we become the children of God and are translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son. We're supposed to think differently, love differently, and act differently. Well, we'll start today what may turn into a little mini-series because there's so many tangents that are significant, perhaps especially in this time. And that is the topic of what we think and how we act regarding the human body. The human body. We're talking about having a spotless body. And I'm not talking about the little boy who was playing out in the dirt and, you know, it was bath time and his mom said, don't forget to wash behind your ears. Don't want any spots back there. We're not just talking about physical cleanliness. We're talking about an unworldly view about the human body. A biblically built understanding of what God thinks about the human body and how we should act because of that. I've struggled even with encapsulating what does the world think about the body, because there are so many different opinions and it's so many different arenas and areas where this comes up. But here's a few thoughts for us. You could certainly add to this, but a few things to get us thinking. I think generally speaking, the world thinks that my body belongs to me. We think that if anything belongs to me, it's my body. My house may not belong to me. I may be sharing that with a bank or maybe renting it from a landlord. My car may not be paid for yet. My this or that may not yet be mine, but at least my body is mine. And because it's mine, I can do whatever I want to it. It's my body. I can do what I want to it. That makes sense to the natural mind. So if I want to, you know, find all kinds of unnatural means of keeping myself awake longer than I should be kept awake, I can do that to my body. It's my body. If I want to mutilate my body for any variety of reasons, I can do that. If I want to exercise my muscles to a point of being unnatural, I mean, people looking even more muscular than I do. That was not a laughing point. It was... I'm so hurt. But you know what I'm talking about. People that just... They do things to their body. They're taking steroids or some kind of, you know, bodybuilding supplements. And they're doing things to their body that just were not part of God's plan. Maybe I'm just going to, without any kind of regard, expose my body to all kinds of risks. Just, I don't care, whatever. It's my body, I'll do what I want to with it. you know what, my quality of life isn't the kind that I remember and I want anymore, so I'm just going to end my own life. Whether you call it euthanasia or suicide or whatever, my body belongs to me. I can do whatever I want to it. I think that's a thinking that we find in our culture today. What about it belongs to me, I can do whatever I want with it? What you do to your body and what you do with your body are not exactly the same thing. I can do whatever I want to with it. I can party with my body. I can drink, drugs, physical relationships, whatever I want to do with my body, I'm going to do with my body because it's my body. And that's the message of the culture. Hey, you can tell me a lot of things, but don't tell me to do with my body because it's my own. It's none of your business. And from a natural standpoint, that seems somewhat reasonable. It's your body. You can do what you want to with it. But we are not natural. We are supernatural. We are bought with a price. We'll talk about that later. I think the world thinks this way. My body, not everybody thinks this way, but common thinking among unbelieving people is, my body is the most important part of me. My body, my flesh and bones, are the most important part of me. I have to satisfy it. In other words, if my body wants something, because it's the most important part of me, I have to give it what it wants. Whether that's food or sleep, whether it's a physical relationship, it's kind of the Vanity Fair approach to life, right? I'm just going to go to the carnival called USA Today, and whatever pleasures are appealing to me, I am going to consume them. My body's the most important part of me, I'm going to satisfy it. My body's the most important part of me, I have to enhance it. A lot of that goes on in the culture today, right? I need to do whatever it takes to make myself look good, because it's the most important part of me. From steroids to cosmetic surgeries and everything in between. My body is so important, I have to do whatever it takes to make it look good. My body is important to me, and so I have to display it. Since I have enhanced it, or since it is naturally what is currently defined as good looking, I want to make sure everybody knows about it. Right? Modesty is for those people that don't look good. But I look good, so I want to make sure everybody knows. How does the saying go? If you've got it, flaunt it. Isn't that how it goes? It's the most important part of me, and I got it, so I got to display it. I have to show it off. I have to use it as a tool to get attention. Understand that this is not just what you're thinking about, perhaps when I say modesty, like, okay, so I'm going to dress to reveal my body in a certain kind of way. But sometimes what people do to their bodies in a way that is hurtful to get attention. So it could go to the point of doing things that are a cry for attention. My body's the most important part of me. Here's another way that plays out. I have to preserve it. Now, I understand that God has given us a drive to sustain life. Life is valuable. He's the giver of it. Humans are made in God's image, so it's a good thing to protect life. But sometimes it gets to the point where people think that the most important thing to do is to preserve their own life. And so they're going to be obsessive about exercise and diet. They're going to be slavishly running away from anything that could lead to death. As if the only purpose of living is to keep on living. That's a natural way of thinking. And we see it all the time. It comes from the idea that my body is the most important part of me. There are some tormented individuals that would say, I don't believe my body is all of that. My body is actually the worst part of me. I don't like it. And when we believe that my body is the worst part of me and I don't like it, that leads to all kinds of actions, everything from self-harm by a discouraged, self-conscious middle school student to gender-altering surgeries. self-harm, neglect, I'm not going to take care of myself, comes from that thinking that says, I don't like my body. It's the worst part of me. I wish I could change it. Whether it's some kind of sensational thing or some kind of a huge intervention to change what I look like or something like that. When we think that my body is the worst part of me, it could be that we're thinking, I deserve better. You know, I should have a body like this, not the crummy one I got stuck with. And when you look at the industries that help people change their bodies, I think probably a lot of people think that way. There's a lot of discontent with people's physical bodies. It comes from that idea that my body belongs to me, it's the most important part of me, or it's the worst part of me. I don't like it, I wish I could change it, and I deserve better. Those are some things that I think are natural for people to think about when they don't have a biblical worldview about body. What kind of affections are driving these actions? It's our loves, isn't it, that drive us to do the things that we do. It's our value system that helps us to make the choices that we make. What kind of love or value system or affection leads to this thinking that we've just described? It could be a love for pleasure and thrill. So I'm going to do all these things because they make me feel good. I think a lot of our affection in relation to the body relates to affirmation, attention, and admiration. A lot of people will do just about anything to get a compliment, won't they? If fashion says you got to wear tie-dye to look good, then they wear tie-dye, right? If fashion says you got to wear shorts in wintertime to be cool and manly, then you wear shorts in the wintertime to be cool and manly. And whatever it is, people use their body as a canvas to do something shocking to get attention. I mean, people go about setting world records, right? With the most this or that. Cutting their tongue in half. These kind of things are done because somebody's crying out, saying, notice me. Pay attention to me. I want to be interesting to somebody. It's really sad. But it doesn't have to be just the bizarre. It can be the way we do our hair or the clothes that we wear or the time we spend trying to make ourselves look presentable. We want to be affirmed. We want people to say, you look nice today. What price are you willing to pay to hear somebody say you look good today? How much time will you spend? How much money will you spend? How many laps will you run? How important is it to you that people like the way you look? I'm not saying it's wrong to look good. I'm saying, what do you love? Sometimes our thinking and our actions are motivated by an affection for convenience, valuing productivity over people. Well, these people aren't real productive in society, so let's, you know, store them for a while and then put them out of my misery. Pretty messed up. But sometimes even Christians get spotted by the world, and we think a lot of these things almost exactly the same, or sometimes with a variation. Sometimes we fall into thinking that, you know what? I'm a spiritual being. God saved my soul. And so my body doesn't really matter. I can do whatever I want to with my body because God sees my heart. Right? Maybe it's, well, nobody can tell me what's right or wrong because they can't see my heart. All they can see is my body, and, you know, it doesn't matter that much. So my body's not important. Sometimes we pursue pleasure just like the worldlings, only we're careful not to cross the line. But we want to have that fun, we want to have that pleasure, we want to have that thrill, and we live for the pleasure of our body, but there's just certain rules we don't break. Maybe it's that we pursue affirmation without breaking rules. And so we know that we're not supposed to wear this kind of outfit, but we still are so hungry and thirsty, not after righteousness, but after compliments on our appearance. And so, okay, so maybe you didn't break the modesty rules, but your heart is craving praise for your outward appearance. Maybe you're pursuing self-preservation at all costs. Can't put myself in any kind of risk or danger. I can't allow my children to do anything that would be dangerous in some way. I think we have to be really careful, or we do become spotted by the world and think the way the world thinks and love the way the world loves. Remember, two anchor verses in this series are Romans 12, where it says that we're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Has your mind been renewed? Do you think about your body in a new way, or do you think about your body the way unsaved people think? And then Colossians talks about setting our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Do you love the praise of men? Do you love just the self-satisfaction of looking good? Do you love the satisfaction of being in this kind of physical shape? Or do you love the satisfaction of eating this many sleeves of Oreos? What is it that you're really loving? As I said, I'm not exactly sure where this is going to go. Maybe some kind of a mini-series, because I am thinking about a lot of scripture that has some really important truths for us. Your body is important, and therefore God speaks to the issue. So here's number one biblical principle about your body. Turn to Psalm 139, please. Psalm 139. Perhaps heavy issues. I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm trying to deal with real world stuff. And I want to start with, I think, a great foundation and a great encouragement about your body. Psalm 139, verse 14. This whole psalm is about God's love and care and protection and the intimacy of his relationship with his loved ones. And in that, the psalmist says in verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully. And that word has the idea of separatedly. I'm made differently. I'm apart. Some of the commentators say it's the idea that as a human, you're made different from everything else in creation. You're fearfully made, respectfully, uniquely made. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Can I invite you to read that out loud with me? Because I think it was not only true for the psalmist in his day, I think this verse transfers and can be honestly stated by every human being. So let's read together Psalm 139, verse 14, nice and slowly. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I'm not sure I'll be able to think about this verse very often without picturing our K-3 class. They memorize this verse every year. Our little 3-year-olds. And there's motions to go with it. And the only one I remember is when they get to wonderfully. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And they're so cute, aren't they? And it's easy for us to think, well, yeah, you guys are, but we're old and ugly. We're broken down and decrepit. But I want to encourage you this morning and remind you that God made your body. God made it. And as the old saying goes, God don't make no junk. He made you on purpose, with care, with love, with genius, with design, with purpose. God made you who you are. You're not an accident. Nothing about you is not the way it should be. Your body is like a handmade gift given to you. Scriptures talk about being knit together in our mother's womb. God is the author of the genetic code, and he oversees all cell replication. God made you. You are who you are. You have the body you have because God said so. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, yeah, but there's this thing I don't like about my body, can I tell you a secret? That's everybody. And just to help us all with that, I'm going to ask us to get the handheld mic. We'll go around the room. And that's how to get, you know, big attendance in church, right? Everybody confess your faults one to another. This is what I don't like about my body. You're laughing nervously like he is joking. I am joking. I am. But the reason everybody's laughing is because everybody's got something. We get this concept because we're all like, yeah, I don't like it. I may, you know, have an hour-long testimony about things I don't like from my body. It could be a genetic condition. It could be your health. It could be your eye color. It could be your body shape, your height. It could be something with your eyes. It could be so many things. But everybody's got something he doesn't like about his body. And can I tell you further, that says less about your body than it does about your contentment. Because when we're like, I wish I could have his body. I wish I could have her body. And you know what she's thinking? She wishes she could have something different.
That's right.
Nobody likes their own body. I mean, we do and we don't. We love and hate it. We protect it. We hate it at the same time. That thing you don't like about your body, can I tell you something? Is part of God's plan. If you're feeling insecure and wish I were different and I don't like this too much, don't reject what God gave to you. Accept it. Embrace it. I was trying to think of what this is like. Mother's Day is coming up. Reminder number two, guys. Mother's Day is coming up. Teenagers, Mother's Day is coming up. Okay? Isn't it something when moms, when your child gives you a homemade gift? Aren't they precious? Yeah. So imagine little two-year-old, you know, the kind with the cute little list Monday. Mommy, I have something for you. And they bring this, you can't call it anything but a mess, to you. And you're looking at it, and you're a wise mother, and you learn not to say, what is it? Instead, you say, that's nice. Can you tell me about it? Hoping that you'll figure it out. And so they come to you with this mess, and they say, well, Mommy, I wanted you to have something to help you in the kitchen, because I know that there's hot things, and I didn't want you to burn your hands. And I don't know what you call them, but you have those things. And so I wanted you to have one that you like. Say, oh, that's nice, sweetheart, but this is, it's kind of got some dirt on it, and it's all wet. Oh, well, that's because I wanted it to be lasting a long time, and the cloth, it has pretty flowers on it, and I know that they need dirt to help them be healthy and water. And so I took the cloth, and I took it in the backyard and got it all dirty. And wet, so that you could have this. Oh, that's really sweet. It looks good. Where'd you get the material? Well, I really wanted you to like it, so I got your favorite dress, and Mother's Day crafts. Maybe the example's not that extreme. Maybe they bring you something, and it's honestly, it's not impressive. But you take it, and you put it on the fridge for a while, set it on the counter, then you kind of move it to your bedroom, and then after a while, you put it in a shoebox or a something, and you keep it. You treasure it. Because you love the one that made it for you.
Amen.
God made your body for you. However you talk, however you look, however well your joints function, God made you. He gave you that body. And when we despise our God, or when we despise our body, we're spurning the love of our God. If your child comes to you with that Mother's Day gift and you say, "What is that? That is a mess. You should try it again." You'd never say that to your child because you don't want to spurn their love. You want them to realize that, hey, I appreciate what you gave to me. And yet to God, we say, "You should have tried again. You shouldn't have made me with this. You shouldn't have made me that way. You should have given me this instead." Would you spurn God's love before you'd spurn the love of your child? He made that gift for you. Be thankful for his craft, his plan, even if you don't understand it. He truly knows best. And I'm going to push this a little farther. What's the difference between hating something about the body that God gave you and seeking, let me just call it, gender reassignment surgery? It's saying, "I don't agree with what God decided for my body. I'm going to go a different direction." And we would gasp at certain practices in our world today. It's unnatural. It's rebelling against God's plan. And this is how he made you. And this is what you are. And this is what you need to be. And yet, there's things that I complain about and wish God had done differently in my body. The difference is in degree, not in essence.
Yes.
It's the same heart attitude, rejecting what God has given you and made you to be. Don't hate your body. Understand that God is doing something in it and through it to make you like Jesus. Even your physical body is part of God's plan for you becoming sanctified. And remember that regardless of the thing you don't like about your body, you bear God's image. And that's more important than anything else. You are fearfully made. You may think, "You know what? My brain is not as smart as his brain." Yeah, but you bear the image of God. And that makes you more valuable than the most intelligent animal out there. You say, "Well, I'm kind of homely and plain. I don't look very good. I don't think I'm nice to look at." Yeah, but you bear the image of God. That makes you more beautiful than the most incredible tropical bird or the most graceful animal that's ever walked the world. Do you bear God's image? It makes you special. It makes your body something to be appreciated, not complained about. So number one, your body was an awe-inspiringly made gift of God. Think that about your body and your thinking biblically. Number two, you are more important than your body. You're more important than your body. Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body." Don't think about your body, what you shall put on. "Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Your life is more important than your food. Your body is more important than your clothes. You are more important than these physical external things. And then in Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." God is more to be reverenced because he has authority over not just your body, but all of you. Jesus said, "Don't worry about your body. Your life is more than your body." Sometimes, even as Christians, we worry about our bodies, don't we? We do kind of think that we're made for our own self-preservation. And so we're obsessed with safety. We're obsessed with health. We're obsessed with diet. We're obsessed with exercise. And none of those things are bad. I'm not telling you to not pursue safety and health and exercise. Those are good things. But when we're obsessed with those things, it means probably we've taken our affection to the wrong place. We're going to talk about why you should take care of your body eventually. We'll talk about that. But you're more important than your body. And if you spend all kinds of time and mental energy just concerned about your body, you're missing something. Because there's things about you that are more important than your body. Let's turn now to a couple passages. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3. This passage is specifically addressed to Christian women, but there's a principle here that I think teaches us how God wants to think about our body. 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. The passage clearly isn't teaching that you can't wear gold or do your hair, because it also talks about not being obsessed with your apparel. And certainly you can wear apparel. Aren't you glad for that? But it's saying that your focus should be on the inner person that you have. It's more important how you look spiritually than how you look physically. You're more important than your body. 1 Timothy 4. Turn back a little bit to 1 Timothy 4. Verses 7 and 8. Paul's giving instruction to his son in the faith, practical things he should do and not do. 1 Timothy 4, 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. You spend all your time on bodily exercise, that may last you for 80, 100 years. Eventually, it's not going to matter. If you spend your time on spiritual exercise, you're carrying that with you after you die. So it's not wrong to exercise. Bodily exercise profiteth little. It is good for you to get exercise. You shouldn't be a couch potato. But it's more important to exercise unto godliness. So the passage to the women in 1 Peter is like, it's okay to take care of your body, but it's more important to take care of the inner person. The passage to Timothy says, it's okay to exercise, but it's more important to exercise yourself to godliness. And what is it easy for us to put our priority on? It's easy to put our priority on the body. Why? Because everybody can see it, and we're concerned with what they'll think. But we know that God looks on the heart. I kind of was toying with an interesting thought. Wouldn't it be interesting if there were a way that we could see like God sees? That we could look on the heart? Remember, God told that to Samuel? He says, I'm trying to pick a king here. Don't worry, I see differently than you see. I look on the heart. What if there was a way that we could, even just for a day, see the way God sees? You think we'd have some surprises? Some changed opinions? Maybe we would. Well, I brought with me today my spiritual spectacles. You'll notice that there's no lenses in them because it's spiritual. When I put these on, nothing different happens. But pretend that when I put these on and look at you, I can see your heart. Oh, with my natural eye, I can see, guys, how broad your shoulders are. I can see, ladies, how fancy your clothes are, whatever. But you put on the spiritual spectacles, I can see the state of your heart. How is it with you and God? Are you walking with Him? Do you have the ugliness of pride all over your face? Like, I put it on, I'm like, whoa, that's dirty. Or do I put it on and say, wow, that's a meek and quiet spirit? If I had spiritual spectacles, could I look and see which ladies have a meek and quiet spirit and which don't? If I had spiritual spectacles, could I look at the men and see who's been exercising themselves to godliness and who hasn't? See, I can walk around and see, okay, you know, this is their physical strength, this is their outward appearance. But you're more important than your body. And I don't have any real spiritual spectacles. But God does. Aren't you glad I don't have them? I'm glad you don't have them. And hide. But what's secret from others is not secret from God. It's an old illustration, but it's so valid. How much time do we spend trying to make ourselves look presentable versus how much time do we spend trying to be presentable to God, our Savior? Don't be obsessed with your health and your safety and your strength and your beauty. Be focused on something that's more important than that and kind of ambivalent about your body. I'm not saying neglect your body. I'm not saying harm your body. I'm not saying don't exercise. I'm not saying be as ugly as you can be. I'm saying take care of your body, but don't worry about it too much. You know, exercise, but don't, you know, be a gym rat or whatever they call it. I'm saying, you know what? Look as best you can, but don't try to be a beauty queen. We got more important things to do, don't we? We have more important things to do, but the world tells us daily, you got to look good. You got to be impressive. You got to be sharp. You got to be handsome. You got to be beautiful. You got to be strong. You got to be attractive. Take care of the body and move on to other things. Be somewhat ambivalent about your body and instead focus on God's glory, not your glory. Turn to Philippians 1 then, please. Philippians chapter 1. Paul, I think, gives us a good expression of this in that I don't think Paul was hurting himself on purpose. I don't think Paul looked ratty. I don't think Paul was disturbing to be around. I think he probably was clean. But his perspective on his body comes through in Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and following. Follow with me if you can. Philippians 1, 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I'm in prison, and I'm writing this letter to you, and the main thing I want with my body is not to live longer, and I don't really care if I die. I just want God to be magnified in my body. That's my priority. He wasn't, you know, hoping that he would get nicer, comfortable clothes for his time in prison. He wasn't wanting to look better or be healthier or live longer. He said, my earnest expectation is that Christ will be magnified with my body no matter what happens to it. And he's talking life and death. Most of us aren't confronted with life and death daily. But can you say my earnest expectation is that Christ is going to be magnified in my body today? Whether I have a good hair day or a bad hair day? Whether I have a sharp outfit or a kind of frumpy outfit? Whether I have genuine jewelry or costume jewelry. Can I say that my real desire is Christ to be magnified in my body? Verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. I don't know what to pick. For I'm in a strait betwixt two. It's a dilemma for me. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He's saying dying's not a bad option. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I can see how I could maybe edify you if I were still living. And having this confidence, believing that I can minister to you, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. It's not for my comfortability. It's not for my long life and prosperity. It's not about my appearance. I'm going to live, but I'm going to live for your faith and joy to be furthered or advanced, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Paul says, I don't really care whether I live or die. I just want Christ to be glorified. And I think right now he'll be more glorified if I live and minister to you. Do you have that kind of perspective on your body? Or is it all about making it look good and last long? Can you do both of those at the same time? I don't know. They're trying. So this transitions naturally to the third point, and this is where we'll stop for today. Be somewhat ambivalent about your body. Be focused on God's glory, because you're more important than your body. Your body is not an end. It is a means to an end. It is a means to glorifying God. So that brings us to 1 Corinthians 6. Would you find your place there, please? 1 Corinthians 6. Number one, your body was awe-inspiringly made for you by God. Number two, you're more important than your body. So preserving your body is not your main purpose. Number three, for Christians, since your body belongs to God, it should be used for his glory. 1 Corinthians 6, starting about verse 13 through 18, it's pretty focused on sexual sin. And that's not a good thing to use your body for. That's his point, is that your body shouldn't be doing that if you're a Christian, because your body isn't yours. And so then we get to this broader principle that can be applied to other areas of living besides physical purity here. So verse 19 is what we'll read together out loud. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. A lot of observations we could make here. We'll try to keep it brief. This is for Christians. It says that you're bought with a price. And can I remind all of us that you were bought with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ? And if you've not given your life to him, if you've not turned from your sin and accepted his forgiveness as that free gift, he bought it for you. He's offering you salvation. He's offering you eternal life and forgiveness of the punishment that you deserve. He paid the price. Why would you reject his gift? He gave you your body as a gift. More importantly, he gave you the opportunity for new life as a gift. And those of us who have received it, remember that that gift wasn't cheap. It wasn't free. It was free to you. But it cost Jesus his life. It cost him his blood. Your eternity, your forgiveness cost a great price. A little gratitude maybe would be in order. Since you've been bought, you don't own yourself anymore. In concluding that argument, he says in verse 20, glorify God in your body. Sometimes we put this dichotomy in and we say, okay, God saved my soul, so I'm going to worship him with my soul, and I'm going to do whatever I want to with my body. And that's not right. You're supposed to glorify God with your body, with the things that you do, with the way that you treat your body, with the way that you display your body, with everything about your body. Your body is not yours. It's God's. And so you need to treat your body, think about your body as a way to bring glory to God. What can I do with these arms to glorify God? What can I do with these legs to glorify God? What clothes can I wear to glorify God? What activities can I engage in to glorify God? Your body is just a vehicle for glorifying God, not for doing whatever you feel like. Because you don't belong to you anymore. You've been bought. The implication is, if you want to be yours, and if you want to do whatever you feel like with your body, That means you haven't been bought with a price. That means you're not forgiven. That means you are on your way to hell. See, there's the option. You can be your own and do whatever you want to, and then die in your sin. Or you could be forgiven and be bought, belong to Christ, and spend your whole life glorifying Him with everything you say and do. Those are the choices.
I think
the being bought is a good choice. It's a good option. Don't do what you do for your own satisfaction. There's a time for enjoying the gifts that God has given to us. I understand that. But don't constantly seek to satiate every appetite or impulse that you get. Whatever my body wants, I'm going to give it. Don't do things that contradict God. Say, well, this looks like fun. Yeah, but God said not to. Glorify God with your body. Don't glorify yourself. Don't do things to excess. This is where we often get into trouble. We take good things that God has given to us and we go too far with them, and that's sin. Is that the wrong with eating? There's something wrong with eating too much. Probably only one of you heard what I said. There's nothing wrong with eating, but there's something wrong with eating too much. Nothing wrong with sleeping, but there's something wrong with sleeping too much. There's nothing wrong with the physical relationship in the way that God designed it and planned it to be. But any other way, it is wrong. And you know there's lots of variations that are wrong. Don't do things to excess. Don't do things that make you lose control of your body. And don't always do whatever your body tells you to do. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding the hands to sleep. Oh, just one more bite. Just one more this. Just a little bit more that. Remind your body who's in charge. Tell it. Say, body.
Look in the mirror if you have to.
Body, you are not your own. You don't even belong to me. And you're not going to tell us what to do anymore. We're going to do what God says. Now, come on. You may want to do that privately. But you probably ought to do it at least once a day.
Isn't that just like the Lord? So very much like Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Pastor David M. Atkinson also has a ministry on Facebook and invites you to connect with him there. Now, until the next time, remember to walk softly with the Lord.